Welcome to We Are Technologies User Friendly with host Bill Sickens, technology architect.
And this is User Friendly 2.0. I am your host, Bill Sickens. With me today are my co-hosts, Jeremy and Gretchen Winkler. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi there.
So we've got a lot of good stuff for you today. Joining us on our interview segments is going to be Eric G., the one and only, who hosts Around the House here on Salem Media. He's going to be talking to us today about smart homes and some of the related technology going along with that. Upcoming shows, we're going to have the Rose City Comic Con September 14th and 15th, and in October, the Virtual Reality Conference in San Francisco, as well as the Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas. Send us your questions, send us your comments, one user friendly on Facebook and Twitter. Our phone number is 503-766-6264. Gretchen, what do we have in the news today?
All right, well, our first topic is kind of sad. Fry's Electronics closing?
Yeah, to me, this is really sad. Now, we've been seeing all over the country electronics stores closing, and one of the few exceptions to that has been Best Buy that seems to have managed to pull themselves out of that scenario for right now. But I find this quite sad because I've always been a fan of Fry's, but I don't know, we've noticed this. Jeremy, you went and got some printer filament or tried to a couple of months ago.
I tried to, yeah. They didn't have any filament. They were proud of the fact that they didn't have any filament for months. And I couldn't get any of the five things I was looking for. That's pretty bad.
And the stores that we looked at for the last couple of years that we'd visited were nothing like the stores that we had visited many years ago that were like amazing.
Yeah, I've noticed that difference too. And this is something right now that I should say is definitely a rumor. It's being reported by Layoff Reporter that they're definitely starting to have some problems and that this is what's floating around. I tried to get a hold of Fry's and didn't get an immediate response to my questions, so I haven't been able to get confirmation on that, but if and when I do, we'll certainly report it here. Right now, what I'm hearing is that maybe some specific stores, not the entire chain. I just hope that they're able to pull out.
Okay. So now our next one is Flash support ends in 2020.
Yep. Adobe has announced the end of life for Flash. We're actually going to be talking about this in some detail right after the news. So I'll leave it go until then, but we are definitely seeing a change in our browser environment.
Okay, so here's our next topic. No more Spider-Man movies?
Yeah, what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, it's pretty sad, but I know Disney and Sony are having contract negotiation problems.
Well, it really bothers me because I really like this new Spider-Man character that came with the Avengers and everything.
Yeah.
He's been great.
And
I think people love him.
Far From Home was, and we reviewed it here on the show, Far From Home was by far my favorite Spider-Man movie of the whole time. And one of the best superhero movies I think I've seen. They really pulled it off. And so what's going on here is, of course, Disney bought Marvel a while back. And Disney and Sony have had some breakdown in their negotiations. And right now it's being reported that they probably won't have any more standalone Spider-Man movies. But money kind of dictates these things. And I have a feeling that if there's money to be made, hopefully, we can only hope that they will eventually get it figured out.
We can hope. Right. Our next one is we have a circus that's going to start using holographic animals.
So this has been one of the few things that I will touch upon a political side. And I think anybody that knows me knows that I work with organizations like the ASPCA and the Humane Society, and I'm very much an animal lover. I have a few too many in my house here sometimes, but the circuses have used for many years animals as part of their performance. And in recent years, we've been starting to realize that that's probably not a good thing. And not to say that everybody has been bad. There are some organizations out there that take very good care of their animals, but they've been finding that some others have not. So a lot of the circuses have been eliminating the use of the animals. But this is kind of a cool response to that, I think. This is a circus in Germany that performs in the European Union, and I'm hoping we'll see it somewhere else. And we're also going to try to get someone on the show to talk about this a little bit. They've started using holographic animals, and from what I've seen of it, it's absolutely beautiful. It's incredible to kind of see the technology coming into its own on that front. You don't need glasses for it or anything. They're able to present it on stage, and it gives a magic to it that I've just never seen before. So we'll hope to get some more information on this topic, but that is a very unique direction that's going.
Okay, and our last one is, and I don't like this, 1 million fingerprints leaked.
Yes.
What does that mean? Where did they get it?
So when we talk about hacks and all of the different things that go along with that, at least when a password's leaked out, you can change the password. It's a lot harder to do that with your fingerprints. And what's happened here is a company that makes software called BioStar 2, not necessarily something that you've heard of because it's embedded into a number of different applications. But BioStar 2 is a biometric system that uses fingerprints, and that's the system that got hacked. They're reporting about 1 million fingerprints and their user account information that corresponds with them has leaked out. And right now they're trying to figure out what to do about it. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more on future shows as soon as we have an answer. But, you know, I can change my password. I can't change my fingerprints. Well, as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about Flash and what's going on with that. Now, Jeremy, you've worked with Flash, I know, as a graphic artist in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, I used Flash for some graphic animations for early websites and for programming some games. And I actually had a class to do animation in Flash. So that was kind of cool. But, so, you know, now it's like they're getting rid of it?
Yeah, for our listeners that are into tech, I'll go ahead and kind of go over the numbers on this a little bit, and then we can talk about it in a little more detail. But the HTML version 5, which is what the current websites and that type of thing use for the scripting language, basically can do all the functions that were originally in Flash. And what Flash was, for anybody that doesn't know about it, was an ability, an early ability, that was actually very good at bringing graphics and specialty functions like that to the internet. So what you can do now with your browser and everything like that wasn't supported for a very long time. It was limited to maybe putting up a few pictures, some graphics, but nothing too special, and certainly nothing like desktop publishing. And like Jeremy, what you said, you actually could take that a step further because it did have a programming language. I believe it was called ActionScript.
And right, you could program movements and you know embed links and everything, and you could slide around a giant page space that the viewer couldn't see. But you'd get movement in your animations and graphics and links. And it was pretty spectacular for its time.
Yep. And in the day, I remember seeing entire websites. In fact, we had a client that was a large seller of insurance up in the Pacific Northwest, that his entire website from end to end was done in Flash. You would open it, and that's how everything would work. So all of your menus and different things like that were included. And it had complete capability to do all of that. So the question then is asked, well, if you had something that was great like this, why are we doing away with it? And again, it's modern technology. It's a victim of HTML5 being able to do a lot of what it can do. But one of the other things that's kind of come up with this is that it is somewhat insecure. So we do our Tech Tuesday here on KPAM every morning at 6:40 and talk about, it seems like every week, different hacks. In fact, we were calling it Hacking Tuesday. And this is another area of that where the bad guys have figured out a way to get in.
That's not good.
No, it's definitely not. And one of the other things I think from a tech perspective, too, as a programmer, I look at this is Flash loads on top of your web browser. In other words, it loads the website and then it loads the Flash functions, which does take additional bandwidth and additional memory and things like that to be able to do. The one kind of negative side of this, though, is because it's been used for so long on the internet, there's a lot of things out there that are programmed in Flash. And I know, Jeremy, you play a lot more of the online games. You still see Flash used a lot in that area?
It's slowing down, but yeah, there's still quite a few games out there and things added to websites that are Flash-based. But yeah, it is slowing down.
I know things like the Arlo camera system uses Flash for their desktop browser, which they're going to have to update, obviously.
Yeah.
And some of the games, like Jeremy, you were talking about, we all remember Farmville on Facebook and various ones like that, which used Flash. I don't even know if they're out there anymore, but
we'd have to go for Zynga.
Use for Zynga, yeah, but you definitely still see it. Now, a lot of this is being redone, and the capability is there to update things in HTML5, JavaScript, and those type of languages. But the problem is it does require a complete rewrite if you have something that's in the Flash format, but it's going to have to be done. It's going away officially in 2020. Adobe has announced the end of life formally. The other thing I'm noticing now is browsers, Chrome seems to do this, and the others are jumping on this bandwagon, that if there's a Flash function, it will still work, but you specifically have to enable it every time you visit the website. So that's a little bit inconvenient. But again, you're looking at some security issues, and as we're seeing more and more of these hacks and different things like that out there, it does make sense that something that's not secure would either need to be fixed, or in this case, since it's starting to be old tech, just something that's done away with. Well, today's show, we have the one and only Eric G. joining us. We're going to be talking about different things from around the house, his show, his home improvement show, dealing with technology, smart homes, and a lot of the different things he sees. So join us in the next segment for that. We will be back after the break. Send us your questions. Send us your comments. Our phone number here is 503-766-6264. Social media is One User Friendly, userfriendlyshow.com, or catch our podcast at theanswerportland.com. We'll be back after the break. This is User Friendly 2.0. Welcome back. And joining me today is the one and only Eric G. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me.
Eric hosts Around the House. So tell us, what is Around the House?
Around the House is a home improvement show. We talk for 2 hours and we talk anything home improvement, basically between the fences. If it's up there, if it's around, you know, the front door to the backyard, we're doing our thing. So there are no rules except no politics, and everybody has to play cool together. We have a good time doing it.
Well, that's cool. We have the same rules here, so I think we're going to get along just fine.
Excellent.
So I know we've talked a little bit about technology and homes, tech and all of that different kind of thing. And have you been finding that there's a lot of integration now with smart homes and that type of thing? Has this become a big part of construction and remodels and all of that?
It is becoming a huge part of it, because what's happening is you're seeing, now that appliances are starting to actually get their act together and actually start doing some of the things that they said they're going to do, you can actually sit there and have them start working together. And these brands, which I really like Miele, for instance, now you can start using the cooktop and it will tell the vent fan to turn on at whatever level you're using the cooktop. So within the appliances, they're starting to communicate better. And then I'm starting to see them actually think about how they integrate into the home themselves.
So if I was doing a remodel and wanted to bring smart home components within, say, a kitchen, as you were talking about, or something like that, what is actually involved? I know you have to have specific things and your appliances have to work and that type of a thing. What does it take to do that?
Well, it's interesting. It's depending on what you want to do, because you know the 30,000 level discussion of smart home is so much different than diving into the kitchen, because there's so many things that go in the kitchen. You can have your appliances. Now you can start having controls with lighting, of course, and now you can have actually motorized cabinetry where the doors open via a servo drive that you can start to control. So there's a lot of different things that go into that. But even with the dishwasher, about it controlling when you're going to start it, when it's going to run to, oh my gosh, it loads the soap in automatically, to it's reordering the soap for you, it's a whole different world than it was even a year ago.
Yeah, no, those kind of features are kind of cool. And it just shows up at your doorstep and you're good to go. So it's amazing. And it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, there's a lot more of it actually working together and a lot less of the vendors trying to figure out something for the smart appliance to do, which totally makes a lot of sense.
It is. I think you're going to start seeing more food ordering, you know, connecting in with Amazon and some of these other, you know, your Safeways and everybody else out there that's really trying to, your Kroger's. I think you're going to see in the future, those are going to play much better together, that it'll start keeping an eye on your food levels. And if you have a standard menu in your household, I think that's the direction that's going to keep moving.
I know one of the things we were looking at over Valentine's earlier this year was Samsung had an app called Refrigerator.
Yeah.
And this was something that it actually would, through an AI, take pictures of what was in the refrigerator and then be able to set you up on a date.
That's kind of cool.
So that's kind of an advanced feature, I think.
It's kind of creepy too. I don't like what's in your fridge, right, Swipe?
Yep. So yeah, exactly right. You know, and that's where that's going. It's like, but you know, at the end of the day, some of these things, and you talk about, you know, it's good, but it's also a little bit creepy, is the idea of having things auto reordered and auto delivered. Now, Amazon Key is something we've talked about on this show.
Sure.
Where the Amazon delivery people can actually get into your house. I'm not quite sure how I feel about that right now.
Makes me nervous. I mean, they've got that, of course, with the garage door openers now, where they can sit there and open your garage door opener from you. And just by adding that feature to your garage door, that they can actually come up and set things inside your garage door. That's great. But yeah, I don't know if I want everybody to have that. I mean, technology, now you're trusting, of course, how secure is their system? And now that's part of how secure your home is. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I would tend to totally agree with that. I mean, you know, what could possibly go wrong with everybody having access to your house, right?
Exactly. I mean, and when it comes down to houses, if somebody wants to get into your house, they're going to get into your house. I mean, you can go get a chainsaw and cut a hole in the side of the house and get inside the house, but let's not roll out the red carpet either.
Yeah, true.
I've always believed that locks are kind of more a suggestion than anything else, but
they are, but there's so many good smart lock technology now that are really starting to get, you know, smart, where you can give digital keys for people that your house cleaner can only access your home between these 2 hours of the day. There's a lot of cool things like that that you're starting to see that actually are functional, but add another level of security as well.
So let's talk about security a little bit. Do you think homes with smart locks and that type of thing are actually safer? Or do you think it gives more access?
I think it's safer, especially if you have people that are coming into your house, because now you can control that. If you're giving your house cleaner or somebody your key to get into your house and you're trusting them with that physical piece of brass to get into your house during these hours, you don't have to worry about them losing it. You don't have to worry about them coming in during different times. You can give them via their phone access to your house between these 2 hours, and really that key doesn't work at any other time.
And it seems like you can also disable it, so you don't have to change the locks every time someone, you know, a staff member or something like that changes.
Yeah, your daughter's boyfriend, you can lock him out of the house if you want to, and don't have to worry about giving somebody a key that's coming into your house. So I think in general, take outside of the cybersecurity risks, I think it's a safer procedure this way, because you have the ability to change it at a moment's notice.
Now, have smart homes been affecting alarm systems, or is it still the classic kind of ADT where it's sensors and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, there's sensors. I've got, you know, I have the Comcast version at my house, and ironically, it cost me less money to have that. I actually saved money on my cable bill and my internet bill by adding the Comcast security system at my house. Right. So I got that whole, you know, that was my little wizard way of saving money on my cable bill. But yeah, they had it installed in about an hour. It's just, you know, stick up sensors and plug it into the wall and put stuff in. It's pretty simple, and it's getting better than it used to be. And then that ties in with everything else. So, you know, it's getting better, I think. I also think that there's plenty of easy ways to disable that, too, if you wanted to get using technology.
Yeah, well, you're working around it. You know, again, a lock is more a suggestion, and you bring up the cybersecurity aspects of this. And we've talked a lot about hacking. It seems like we talk about it every week here because there's something new going on. And I'm sure this affects everything kind of across the board. And some of the creepier stories we've heard, like people being able to talk to children over the Nest cameras or something like that aren't supposed to. Now, have you been running into this with your listeners and in the things you do? Or is this something more that we're just hearing about elsewhere?
I'm hearing it out on social media. I have not had anybody, you know, get a hold of me and say, hey, X, Y, and Z has happened because I've had a breach of my information or somebody's gone into my system. I'm just not seeing it happen. Am I seeing problems out there of technologies not playing well together and having issues? Yeah. I mean, even at my house, my Nest, which is probably 3 years old now, it's not working as awesome as it used to. It's seemingly, and I haven't had any technology changes within the house, but it seems to be not working as well as it did a year ago. So it works. I'm going to be swapping it out to another system, because I always test my systems out. So That's the longest I've had one piece of technology in the house, because I'm always just moving things and swapping things out because I want to know what I'm going to talk about later without trying it out. I'm not going to trust a review. I want to do my own.
Of course. The same way here. And I'm running into this myself with the Arlo cameras. Mm-hmm. They started out, I've been using them for about a year and a half myself. And at the end of the day right now, they've taken away things like the low battery notification and some of these other things. And it's a little bit weird that you would buy something that had a set of features and then all of a sudden that changes in the middle of the show.
Yeah, and I'm also having some issues where the camera, like my mobile cameras I have mobile cameras with the solar array with it as well, and it takes longer to open up than it used to.
Yeah.
I'd click on it, my internet's higher than it's ever been, and it's still not as smooth as it used to be.
Yeah, it seems like it's very similar to computers in general, where they tend to slow down after a while. And I'd be curious to know if you replaced it with the same equipment, if it would work well again, or if you're going to run into these same kind of issues.
That's a good question, and I don't know.
So, all right, we'll be back after the break. We're here with Eric G. from Around the House here on TheAnswerPortland.com. This is User Friendly 2.0. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. We're going to be back with Eric G. here in our next section to talk about some more smart home technology and all the stuff related to that. But technology brings good and sometimes unusual things. And one of the things that we've been able to do is reviews. Yelp and Google reviews and all of these other sites allow us to know if a restaurant's going to be good or not before going there and what to expect for different events.
but pretty much anything subject to a review. And some of the more humorous, I would say, reviews we found have to do with our own national parks. And in line with that, there are some people that didn't have some very good luck. Gretchen, go ahead and give us our first one.
Okay, this is Hawaii's Volcanoes National Park. And the person says, paid $20 to get in, didn't even get to touch the lava.
Well, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. I really would have felt gypped myself with that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can do in Hawaii. The national park is absolutely beautiful. There's lava tubes, hiking trails. You can even smell the sulfur if that's something you like to do. There's volcanic art. But it is true, you can't touch the lava. I don't know, maybe...
Wouldn't you naturally understand that?
you know, common sense does not always work with tech either. I think, I think unfortunately, that's just part of the deal.
All right, our next one is a review of the Grand Canyon National Park. Whoop-de-doo, Grand Canyon, you're a giant hole in the ground. You were caused by erosion. You don't have roller coasters or dipping dots. Jeesh, can you say overrated?
You know, the Grand Canyon Park is one of the most beautiful sites in the country, and something like 2% of the entire U.S. population visits there every year because people find it just absolutely incredible. And I think one of the funniest things is, and some of our viewers can probably relate to this, was in an old TV series called The Flintstones, where Fred Flintstone's standing there, and there's this little creek and a sign that says future site of the Grand Canyon. And
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But they do have all kinds of things to do. And yeah, it is a giant hole in the ground with walking trails and lookouts and all kinds of other things. But they're right. You're not going to find a dipping dot. You're not going to find a roller coaster. So, you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe they're not.
You know, you're going to have to be a person who appreciates color and construction and design to really appreciate the Grand Canyon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have to totally agree with that. And check your temperatures for going the right time of year. But it is definitely one of those things on your bucket list that you should do.
Okay, here's our next one. This is for Yosemite National Park. And the person goes, by the way, the parks shuts off some of the waterfalls after midsummer. This is probably due to dwindling park service budgets that are spent on toilet paper. Please protest this fiscal mismanagement by staying away from Yosemite. Also, there are bears in Yosemite. They practice breaking into cars. Do you want a bear to break into your car? Stay away. Well, first of all, the Park Service does not turn off the water. It's called snowpack. And once the snowpack melts, there isn't any more water to fall down the falls.
Well, I know that sounds way too logical. They've got to have a system where they turn it on and off. I mean, it's just like Las Vegas in that respect, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's a series of valves.
A series of valves and a series of controls.
Niagara Falls is the same way.
You know, and the review actually is correct. There are bears in Yosemite. In fact, there's a lot of wildlife. A beautiful place to go in. And there's some beautiful hotels there as well as a lot of camping and that type of thing. Again, like the Grand Canyon, definitely something that I would put on my bucket list. And one thing that's good to know about this is the Park Service budget does have bathroom tissue, toilet paper, and all the rest of it. So we're good to go on that front.
That's why the bears are there.
Absolutely. They're being supplied.
All right. Looks like we've got a whole bunch here.
Okay. So our next one is the Sequoia National Park. And this one starts off with, this place is dangerous. There are bears, mountain lions, and worst of all, sketchy people. Hide your wives, hide your kids, hide your husbands, because they will come in your window. There are bugs and stuff, and they will bite you on your face. Don't waste your time here. Go to Vegas. For sure, Vegas is practical and has 7-Elevens. Okay, I'm sorry. That's just wrong. It really is.
But what if I want a Slurpee?
Well, you don't go to the national park for a Slurpee. That's the whole thing. You're going to go there for nature. I mean, yes, be careful of all the wild animals and I guess sketchy people. But
there's no sketchy people in Vegas? I've been there. I lived there.
Actually, I think on both ends of the points, both are good places worth going. And Vegas has its beautiful side, too. And I can agree with this review. They do have 7-Elevens in Las Vegas. and don't have them in the national park. And you know what? I don't think I want them in the national park.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hey, and there's some other really cool stuff that you can see in Vegas as well, other than 7-Eleven. So I think this person's got some really limited...
something.
Yeah.
So figure out what you want to do and before you get there. All right, we'll be back after the break with Eric G and another segment on smart homes. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. Send us your questions. That's how we do our programming. We're on social media, one User-Friendly on Facebook, one User-Friendly on Twitter. Or did you miss a show? Well, don't do that. It's 5 to 6 on Saturday evening. There's nothing else to do on Saturday night. But if you happen to have missed it, our podcast is available at theanswerportland.com anytime. And if you're out of the local area, you can stream the show anytime at the same site. Want to look at our archives? Userfriendlyshow.com has all of them. Joining me today is Eric G. from Around the House.
Thanks,
welcome
buddy.
Back.
Thanks, man. Happy to be back. It's nice to have this little role reversal here that we do.
It is. It is kind of cool, isn't it? It's a little bit weird, too, but yeah. I love it. I love it.
It's good.
So let's talk about, we've been talking about smart homes and some of the technologies and security and that type of a thing, and you had brought up solar-powered cameras.
Yep.
So let's talk about energy consumption in the modern age a little bit. What are you seeing with that?
Man, I tell you what, I think my house right now, my energy consumption is up because I've got so many little different things running around the house that maybe I didn't have. You know, I've got switches for this. I've got, you know, those things add up,
yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, it's not a lot of power, I don't think, but it's funny. You know, it's like my Nest thermostat, I know, uses a lot more power than the old junky one I had on beforehand. Right. And I think all those little technology upgrades do add a little bit to the house. And again, add a little more heat to it as well.
Yep. And it seems like you would have to deal with all that kind of stuff. Now, are you seeing a lot of use of alternative energy, solar, that type of thing? We hear about it.
Oh, I use it on like my Nest camera. Great example. I love that thing. It sits up in the front of the house. I've got it aimed up at the sky. I've got it so it's happy all year round, which is kind of the hard part. You know, before I was struggling with some of the solar things because it's a small little panel. And it used to be I'd have to get up on the roof and go change that thing, you know, in January.
Yeah, it's
to
always
get
fun.
The best.
Yeah.
To get the best, I'm like, ooh, battery's getting low. I better twist that over. But I found a happy spot after a few seasons. But that's some of those things, especially when I don't have to run 110 power up someplace. It's nice to use those little solar panels for that.
And it seems like the swap outs of these things is always when it's snowing or when it's cold or where it's impossible to get to them. I don't know why.
Why is that? It's Murphy's Law, you know?
You know, on a good day that it would be convenient to do it, it works perfectly. No sign of a problem.
it's that sun, you know, it's like the day 7 of rain.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's not working. But hey, I like it because it actually, the way I've got it set up now, it goes front, it goes into my neighbor's yard, to my other neighbor's yard, and goes across the street. I can see just about anything there.
Oh, that's good to know. Don't live next door to Eric. Okay.
Oh, now, yeah.
Unless you want to be on camera.
Yeah. If you're mowing that corner of your yard, I can see you.
Yeah, there you are. You know, that's interesting too, although there's a lot worse out there, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's coming from my house, so it's just seeing the corner there for a yard. So
now, do you think these rooftop solar installations and these type of things are ready for prime time? I mean, are we seeing them actually work, or is it still a supplemental thing?
It's working. It's doing it out there. I think the biggest problems that I'm seeing out there with people are the ones that are leasing the systems. They're having them installed. And the lease payments of how that works versus how the energy usage and the energy they're getting out of it, I'm seeing some people get into pretty bad deals and it's costing them to use solar. And the company that's doing it on the lease payment is making the money off of them and they're not.
So that's what you want to watch for, the numbers on these things, definitely. While it's good to use green energy, make sure you're doing it in the right way.
You don't want to be paying somebody to make money off of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another topic we hear about a lot is healthy homes.
It's huge.
So first tell us what that is and what you're seeing for implementation of that.
You think about it, 30 years ago, they weren't doing any of the house wraps and any of the really stuff that made a tight home. And so there was planned air that came through the house. If you think about it, it would grab air out of the basement crawl space. It would come up around the windows and doors. It would come in. It would go up through the ceiling area up there. And then when you had that 1970s shake roof that was fairly open to the element, you had this really drafty house that always had semi-fresh air in it.
So what happens when you tighten it all up? You have now trapped all those contaminants that we've created or drug into the home. We've left it all right inside. So you get mold issues. You get even more radon issues because you're trapping that stuff inside the home. So healthy homes are getting huge. I had a guest on my show a few weeks ago, America's Healthy Home Expert. She said that she can go and do a lab test of an air sample inside your home and tell you how many containers of sanitizing wipes that you have open in your home.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing. How bad. And
that's
then
incredible.
She can also tell you that how many of the Glade style plug-in air fresheners you have, because if you think about it, inside a nice tight home, you're just vaping that air freshener inside the house. So again, things that you can buy at the store that might not be healthy for your home.
Yeah, it sounds like it, all of these things getting trapped. So what do you do about it?
Ventilation is key. You know, I really like putting in great vent fans for bathrooms. Those need to run for 20 minutes. So if you go in there, Panasonic's a great brand. I don't have anything to do with them. They don't pay me to say it, but they have humidity controlled sensors. So you can leave it technically on. It will turn off and on as you need it, which is great. But one of the things that people forget about when they're doing stuff is if you've put in that chef's kitchen with that 1200 CFM awesome vent fan, you got to create makeup air. So you got to create a system that your HVAC system knows that you've turned that on to put fresh air in. Because the danger is with these new appliances, is that you can suck carbon monoxide back through your furnace
Nice.
Or water heater into your home. And now you're gassing yourself out, which is never a healthy deal.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a use for smart home, though. So you could coordinate the two appliances.
Correct. And that's where you're starting to see that smart home technology dive in there now. And a lot of the thermostats and stuff are designed for that now, but it's one of those things that it's with the tighter homes, you really got to pay attention to. And the most important thing, stay on top of those molds, because that's going to be an expensive fix if you're not getting that ventilation right.
Question that we've had from some listeners too, it has to do with off-gassing for modern things that are used within the home. What is off-gassing, and would this also be something to be fixed with ventilation?
Yeah, it's always fixed with ventilation. Well, off-gassing is like, if you think of new car smell, that's off-gassing.
Okay.
You know.
But I like a new car smell.
I do. But you're just smelling all the new car chemicals. And the same thing, you can get a new piece of furniture. Some of the biggest problems you're getting out there is some of the bamboos, especially if you go into some of the discount places. How they create bamboos, they cut it down, and a lot of the uncertified bamboo floorings, for instance, are getting cut in Southeast Asia. They have big pits that they have dug openings in, and they fill them up with formaldehyde. They use it to kill the black mold that you see on bamboo if it's out naturally, and they actually take care of it. So that's one of the things you got to watch out for. Formaldehyde's a big one in off-gassing and building materials.
We've got about a minute left here, and one of the other topics you brought up that I think would be really something interesting is the use of virtual reality in home design.
I am teaching classes now across the country on designing kitchens and baths in virtual reality, so you can see it in VR as it's designed, and you can pick out the colors and stuff and then experience it without it seeing built. It's a huge thing you're seeing now, and it's rolling across the country, so you're doing pretty good on virtual reality now, and I think you're going to see a lot more of it in the future. It's the new way design is going.
This is User Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. So smart homes, big deal now. Lots of different stuff we can do with that. I love working with them, engineering all the different type of things. And Eric talked a little bit today about appliances and how all of that's coming into its own and some of the different things that it can do. And Jeremy and Gretchen, how do you feel about, do you guys use smart home tech at all?
We have a couple of cameras and, an assistant, but that's about it.
Yeah, we have a couple of weather things too.
Okay, so all different devices. Now, you've been in my home. I have a few more things than just that.
Yeah, you've made your home overly complicated.
Oh, I don't know about overly complicated. It's kind of fun to be able to just come in. I want to be able to just think my lights on and off. You know, talking to an assistant, so 2018.
But hey, as long as they don't start taking the features away without your permission, everything's fine.
Now, are we going to find you like the people in WALL-E?
I don't know about WALL-E, but I want that Finn. What's the name of that? Jeremy, you should know this. It's a sci-fi movie, a Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. You want what is that? Telekinetic Finn? Yeah. Great.
I don't know if telekinetics is a smart home feature that we have just yet or not, but when they get it, I will definitely talk about it here on the show. But
Yeah, it's an interesting topic you bring up, because that is one other side of this, is when you're depending on what they call SaaS, or software as a service, which runs most of our smart home devices, it is possible for things to change. And we've seen that with both Arlo and Google now. Mm-hmm. And Arlo took away the low battery notification on their camera system. And I've tried to reach out to Netgear on that to find out details from it and haven't gotten a lot back yet. And then Google Nest, which right now it seems like they haven't cut off access to the other third-party systems, but they're still talking about it. So we're going to kind of see where that ends up. It was supposed to be right now around the end of August, which is exactly where we're at. So that is definitely kind of a side of this to think about, because it is possible for these things to change. But I have found that for the most part, it's definitely a convenience. And having the ability, like Eric was talking about, where the Range can automatically turn on the hood fan and some of those type of features. And I like the smart thermostats, and that does save energy. So it seems like there's more good than bad. And then you start getting with some of these weirder devices like the Amazon Key. And there you have to make a decision. Do you trust Amazon to have access to your house and car?
Well, yeah, that's a whole other story in and of itself.
Yeah, a bit of one. And one that we have and we'll continue to talk about. There's some people that allow it. I have not heard anything negative about that yet. And it is out there. So it seems to be that if something bad happened, it would certainly turn up on the news. But you never know where these things go. Any bit of electronics is like the lock on your front door. It can be picked. It can be hacked. So you do want to keep things secure, and you're always kind of putting a little bit more of yourself out there for the trade-off of convenience with these type of devices. But so far, I don't know. I like it. And so far where it's going, it seems to be that it's coming into its own now and that we're headed in the right direction. Coming up on User Friendly in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have Rose City Comic Con coverage live from the floor mid-September. October, we're covering the Virtual Reality Conference, and Chaz is coming back on the show in Las Vegas for live coverage of the Global Gaming Expo. Send us your questions, send us your comments, One User Friendly on social media, userfriendlyshow.com, podcast at theanswerportland.com, or give us a call, 503-766-6264. This is User Friendly 2.0, keeping you safe on the cutting edge.
User Friendly 2.0 is copyright 2019, User Friendly Media Group, Inc. The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the host and not necessarily User Friendly Media Group, Inc. or the station. Music licensing by BMI. Hosting provided by WeAreTechnology.com. Podcast available at TheAnswerPortland.com or UserFriendlyShow.com.